Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Why do I want to be perfect? There is no such thing. Like, there's nothing in my life that is perfect. There's not the way I struggle, the way I love my wife, the way, you know, there's the way I drop. There's nothing that's perfect, but can I be better? There is nothing about life that's perfect, but we're trying to be better human beings for one another and the people that we interact with. And so that's the most important part for me.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Real Pod. I'm Victoria Garrick, former D1 athlete and mental health and body image advocate, and I'll be your host. We've got awesome guests, weekly inspiration, and are bringing you the realest conversations about everything and anything. Now let's get real. Gosh, I am so excited to be back with a microphone all by myself. It's been a while, but I'm excited to be here. And also, I mean, I got a nicer microphone, so I feel like almost better about this whole by myself in a room talking in a mic conversation. But what I'm trying to say is I'm just really excited to be back and giving you guys Real Pod episodes and sitting down with some crazy inspiring people. And I am so grateful that you have chose to tune in. But yeah, if you were listening last season, welcome back. Thanks for all that support. Love you lots. Hope that the wait will be worth it. If you are a newcomer, I hope the first 30 seconds has been everything you were hoping for. I'm doing well. If you were wondering how I'm doing great. It's that 2020 start of the year. I feel like everyone is so motivated. It's still January. We're feeling hyped about our New Year's resolutions. We're feeling that energy. All the juices are flowing. We have so many things we want to do and become better in all the ways we can be. And so I just thought that this guest today was the perfect person to help encourage us on that pursuit and shed so much light on how to be better and how to stay motivated every day, every second, which is so hard to do. So today's guest has a very special and motivating energy about him. He is truly one of a kind. Ron Everline, also known as Boss, is the founder of the Just Train Gyms Empire and a celebrity trainer to stars like Kevin Hart, Neo, and Trey Songz. I know, right? Think about those abs. I first discovered Boss while watching Kevin Hart's Netflix documentary, where my mouth straight dropped to the floor when I watched his first scene. If you haven't had a chance to see it, you should, because it's really good. But if not, I pulled the clip for you so you can listen right now. Wait. Before I play it, though, let me just set this scene. So Kevin Hart has overslept and he is not at the gym yet for his workout, and he's supposed to be there. Cut to the scene of Boss, his trainer and our guest of honor today, who says a few words about his thoughts on Kevin and work ethic and Kevin being late. Okay, let's go.
I've been at the gym, motivated since 8 o'clock this morning. Kev has a tendency for calling people lazy. He think he outworks everybody, not me. Absolutely not. It kind of pisses me off that he's late, but I mean, that's what I'm paid to do. And be here no matter what. That's why I woke up early, even though we got in at 4:30. I've been up since 8, because number one priority is to do my fucking job. Sorry for cursing, but I'm my endorphins. If y'all know what those are, I'm on high level of turned up.
I go in with the idea that I have a job to do to make you better and give you good energy. I have something to do, and there's something you're trying to accomplish, and I'm going to do that. And so I come on a mission.
Do I think Kevin works himself too hard? No. This is his time. You gotta maximize your opportunity while you got it, goddamn. I don't give a fuck if you're the highest grossing comedian in the world. Somebody wants your fucking position. Somebody's looking at you right now saying your time's gonna be up.
Yeah, speechless. I mean, I wish I could just have a miniature boss to like wake me up every morning with all of that energy and motivation, because I get hyped watching that clip. I seriously, after I saw that scene, I no joke screen recorded it on my phone and saved it. So it was an honor to sit down with Boss, and I am so thankful he took the time to share his wisdom with all of us today. You guys are going to love this interview. And also, not only is he so motivating, energetic, but he's so self-aware and also such a caring human being that it's truly amazing. So let's get into the episode. I'm so excited to present this interview with Boss Everline. Laying out the vocal red carpet for you.
No, I'm totally easy. I'm easy.
Love it. Well, the first time I found out about you is I was watching Kevin Hart's documentary.
Okay.
And it was the first episode where like...
Oh, this is the first time you found out about me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which okay. I could not believe because okay. you're like mega famous.
Okay. No, but, I'm not famous.
But it was you and you were saying like, do I think he works hard? No. And yeah. you were like, I don't care who you are. Someone's looking at you, wants to beat you out, wants to be better than you, and your time's going to be up.
Yeah.
And then you said, maximize your opportunity while you got it. And that phrase literally has stuck with me. I was like, who is this guy? I look you up on Instagram. I was like, I'll shoot my shot in the DM.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And I really appreciate you accepting the invite.
You know what's so funny? And I apologize to the people that I don't get back to. I try to respond the best way. And for whatever instant, you were right at the top. I opened it and it said, do you want to do my pod or whatever you said? And I said, sure. Email this person or whatever, and then so we're here and I'm excited, you and know I, what I mean, and I had yeah. no clue who you were. It was just this moment of an opportunity to just connect with someone else,
and I really appreciate it. And I feel like you're someone that's super rare. Like, I've literally only encountered someone, and I say this as if I know you, but like, I totally, your whole page and everything, I mean, you have an energy that not a lot of people possess, and like, you're trying to instill that in everyone else, right?
For sure.
And I've literally only come across like one other person who was similar to you, my trainer back in high school.
Okay.
But still like not even close. I mean, didn't you think you're rare? Like, you, do you understand like what differentiates you?
You know, I think my mindset is just, I don't need try to think about it, to be honest. I just try to continue to build on the things that I think are of value, to instill in other people. I think for me, it's all about just being authentic, consistently, and being, authentic with myself and being honest with myself and holding myself accountable for the things that I tell people. And so I think if that's rare, and I think it probably, you know, it is rare, self-accountability. A lot of people don't truly understand self-accountability. You tell yourself something, you tell someone else something, you're supposed to follow up. And if you don't follow up, you have a responsibility to tell them that you can't do it and it's okay. But so many people just aren't.
Yeah. And yeah. also, you can't really lead properly or tell people what to do if you are not going to also do that and two more.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, and that's something I learned playing college volleyball is like, I mean, you talk about captains, you talk about leaders. I mean, you can't be a leader and tell people what to do if you're not going to do it. And so I learned like, I can't tell everyone to get on the line if like I didn't get on the line yesterday on
time. Absolutely.
And I think people don't like, people just want to lead. They don't realize like what it takes to be a leader.
I truly agree. I think, you know, you have to truly understand what leadership is. You know what I mean? Leadership is a responsibility. It goes back to accountability, kind of what you said. In volleyball, you know, even in football, I wasn't always the captain, but I still knew that I had a leadership role. I didn't have to. So many people want the title of leadership, but don't understand leadership is possessed in your everyday walk. Whether someone tells you you're a leader, whether, you know, you're the front runner or the CEO, you're a leader of your position, and that position is whatever you're responsible for. So no matter what I do, rather any position in life, as long as you take accountability for the leadership of your role, you're a leader. But so many people just go through the motions. Yeah. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, yeah. It does. It's like they think it's all about the talk, but really it's about the do. Like, I'm not going to follow the person that tells me to get there at 6 a.m. I'm going to follow the person that gets there at 5:50 and is warming up.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. Someone like I automatically respect.
Absolutely.
But okay, so football. You grew up in Texas.
Grew up in Texas.
It's huge there. I mean, yeah. It's all football. At what age did you realize like I love this sport.
Yes. I mean, that was it was all and only thing I ever knew. My family is a long list of NFL players. And so, you know, obviously growing up in Texas, Texas football is some of the best football ever. And so I just always, you know, thought that I was going to be this amazing football player that, you know, that was going to be my life's work. And then I was going to inspire people through entrepreneurship after football.
Right.
And then.
And do you have siblings?
I have 8 brothers and sisters. My mom had 9 kids. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a lot of us.
Was the family close and supportive of, like, your football dreams
growing
up? Yeah,
very, very close. We're still very close. And, you know, football is one of those things where it taught me about who it brought out more of the characteristics that I am today. Teamwork, working with people that you may not like, but you had a common mm-hmm. goal. You know what I mean? As you probably can understand with volleyball, at the end of the day, the number one goal is to step on a team and be a part of something that's bigger than yourself and to try to win. Whether you like the other person or not, you had a common goal, and that common goal was to work together and be together. And so just taking that in life, it's not always about liking someone or, you know, just kind of, right. And so football's taught me so much, and sports in general. And so that's kind of how, you know.
And did people who knew you when you were in middle school, high school playing football, were you already this vibrant and this driven? Who instilled this in you or brought that out in you at a young age?
So I lost my mom at a young age, but I think, you know, just. I always tell people, I don't know if I was poor growing up. Like, I didn't have, like, my mom, we lived in, like, a middle-class area, but we didn't always have everything we wanted. Mm-hmm. So there was always this hope of more. And then, my dad's a hard worker. I come from a family of hard workers, my uncles. I had the example of people, you know, really, really putting in the work. But, and then, after you get out of high school, everybody says, man, well, you used to get to the gym at 6 a.m. And, you know, and I was like, I actually did used to get to the
gym. It's
weird.
Everything's a blur. I cannot remember anything about,
you know, and so people are like, man, it's so crazy. I remember now seeing you. I remember you were the first one at the gym. You were the first one. And I'm like, damn, I kind of was. But I was forced to be at the gym early because I ended up, when my mom passed away, I ended up moving and living with my brother. And he lived about 30 minutes away from where my mom's house is. And I literally he would drop me off to school early because he would have to go to work. So I would just go work out in the morning before school starts. School started at 8 o'clock and I was at school at 6, you know, so that's where it started.
Was this high school?
High school, yeah.
Yeah, that's a young, hard age. And I've had a best friend of mine also lose someone at that time. And it's great that you have siblings and people around you to call on and, like, your workouts and your football that is motivating you, because things like that really do help define how you're going to live your life.
For sure.
And decide to move on. And it's something that not a lot of people can understand, especially at that age.
Yeah, you know, I was actually having this conversation with a friend of mine most recently. Maybe it was Kevin, I mean. But it literally, you know, just to think about it, and, you know, I lost my mom when I was 11, but to really think about it, I had to make a choice. And for a long time, I used to always tell people, you know, you're weak. You know, I never played myself a victim for my mom's death. And then I lost a brother. And I never played the victim of, like, man, I lost my mom, I lost my brother. And I used to get mad at people that used to make excuses, you know, that they lost a parent, or because I was so strong. And people would go, you're trying to cover it up. But it became my motivation. It became my reason. And so then I had to understand that everybody process wasn't mine, you know what I mean? And so as through growth and through opportunity to be around more people, I was able to be around people that had lost, you know, a parent, and become, I had empathy for them, rather than before I was very, like, who, man,
almost defensive, like, yeah, like my story's worse than yours, or we can't compare.
Yeah, like, we gotta go, like, this is our reason. And I wanted everybody to have that reason, but it can cripple people. It can, and rightfully so, right, to lose someone. But for me, it was the motivation, it was the opportunity to make my mother proud, it was an opportunity to continue to live my life on purpose and to be a person of honor, because that's the only thing that I thought that she would want, and the only thing I know that she would want. And so that was it for me. But then I was so hard on other people. But then through living and being on teams, and, you know, I had a teammate that literally would have breakdowns, and I literally would want to fight him. I would be like, I don't know if this is PG, but I literally would be like, bro, get your shit together. You know what I mean? Like, we have, you know, but he was so broken on the inside. And so when you talk about your mental health.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough line with elite athletics is the grind and then, like, being soft. Yeah. Or, like, but when is that mental health? And when is that, like, anxiety? And one thing that I admire that you said is the self-awareness of looking back now. You're like, I was covering up pain. I was, you know, trying to mask how I was feeling. And that's not easy to do. And it's something that I think with a lot of people in the sports world talking about these things now, younger athletes are being able to realize, like, okay, what is hard work? Like, because you got to push yourself. Yeah. You got to be at a place where you don't think you can and you got to do it.
For sure.
But then you also need to know what's good for your health.
For sure.
Especially your mental health.
And for me, just to be clear, I don't think that I covered it up. I think that I became okay in understanding that it was truly out of my control. Mm-hmm. But I knew that my life needed to be an example. The difference was I was inflicting my courage on other people, and it wasn't right. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't that I was covering up a pain, because the pain never goes away of losing someone, mm-hmm. right? It's existing every day. It's present. But I just became aware that I had a purpose, and I lived on the purpose rather than the opportunity. And so people just couldn't get rid of the pain. And so it wasn't that I was covering it up. It was more that I was trying to make more of an impact. You know what I mean?
I see. You were recognizing that the healing process might be slower in others.
And that's what was the change for me. And so to understand that pain really existed in other people, you know what I mean? That could really mentally, you know, break someone. Rather, for me, it could have broke me,
but it helped inspire me.
Yeah.
So you continue playing football. You're living with your brother.
Yes. I came to junior college I came right out to junior college, and then I was going to transfer to Arizona State. Got into some academic trouble. Mm-hmm. Ended up going to Northwest Missouri State and played there. We went to some national championships in college in Missouri.
That's awesome.
And ended up. Yeah, so that's a little bit of my journey. And then I moved to Atlanta. This is where I started my fitness career. I moved to Atlanta to truly get ready for the NFL. And
yeah, I want to hear about this because it is something that is important. There's a lot of guys that are very athletic, train really hard, and they give it their all. But there's a lot of luck, a lot of chance, and a lot of situations that like could prevent someone from that next level that have nothing to do with their own inner want or potential to be there.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's something like, and I have people close to my life who strive for these professional careers, and it's a grind and it's really hard, especially when you grow up an athlete and you identify as an athlete.
For sure.
So are you going on NFL tryouts? Are you calling coaches? What are you doing to try to see if the league is possible?
Yeah, so I had an agent. I went the whole route. I moved to Atlanta. I left. Literally, I remember playing in we played in a national championship. The team plane landed back in Kansas City. I didn't even go back to my apartment. I literally we landed and I stayed at the airport and took a flight to Atlanta and was like, that was it. I was just there just to play football. And so
to get your film.
Yeah, to get the film. And then so I moved to Atlanta, and then through that process, I started training. I surrounded my cousins were NFL players. So I was just with all the NFL guys, you know, doing all the NFL workouts. And then.
Did you feel a lot of pressure because these other people in your family had?
For sure. The pressure, this is the example. I wanted it for myself, but the people that were in front of me, my first cousins that are my friends, you know what I mean, as well, you know, they were so close to me. And so it was something that I wanted. But this was the only way that I saw that I thought success exists, you know what I mean, for the type of money that I wanted to make, to carry a legacy as well. I thought that football was going to be that thing. And so, again, you're putting in your all. You're doing everything you possibly can. And then at that point, through some workouts and, you know, going through everything I possibly could, things just didn't go my way. And after 2 years, I was just like, of trying, I was just like, all right, this isn't for me. I got a call from a CFL team. I had opened up my gym, which I'll let you segue there. But, and I was just like, I made a decision. I was just like, nah, I'm good.
What was the ending month like where you were really having your heart open up to this concept of, okay, maybe I'm not going to be in the NFL. Like, maybe I'm going to find something else.
So what happened was, and this is, you know, it is, a lot of people don't know this story. It's very, very odd. So one day, so all these things that I'm doing now, it's like so crazy that they're like, you take these small ideas and they don't work and you have no voice and now you have a voice and all these things that you talk about. So I was doing this corporate thing for this company one Saturday morning, like this corporate workout. And we were doing an obstacle course at this park and we were setting it up around 7:30 in the morning and getting ready for this company to come out. And there's this lady, I'm walking with this other guy. This is truly like this is beyond, like this is beyond me. And I'm walking with this lady. I'm walking with this guy and this lady pulls up, right? And she drives by, she has her son in the car. She said, "What are you guys doing?" I said, "We're setting up for camp or whatever." And she says to me, she goes, "You're special." Right. So I'm obviously weirded out, like super weird. I'm like, so immediately the conversation goes just like this. "Man, just have your son come. It's no problem. Like it's fun. You don't have to worry about paying. Don't worry." Like I see a kid in the back with his mom. She's a single mom. I'm like, "Yeah, just drop him off. He's fine. You can come watch." And she's like, "No, you're different. Something special about you." And I'm like, "What about him?" I literally said, just
your
like
poor
this.
Friend. Just yeah, I'm just
like, and she's just all into my face and she's like, "No, I have this." And she's one, I don't know what this is called, but she was just
like an intuition, like
I don't know what this was. It was it was so scary. It was like one of them scary moments of like, who is this woman and what is she talking about? But at this point my life is like, I've always been very positive, so I didn't see myself in a low moment, though I was very low. And I just remember her going, "You're special, something special in your life, and I need you to be in my son's life." And I'm like, "What the fuck?"
You're like, "I'm not sure how to follow
yeah,
your
yeah,
kid."
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, all right, well, just bring him over here. Fast forward to, she came, she sat in the stands, her son did everything, we made it amazing, and I'll never forget, she gave me a book called The Prayer of Jabez, and I read this book, but I didn't read it right away, by the way. I didn't read it right away. I was like, "Man, I'm not reading this. This lady's crazy." Like I was like, "This lady's
throw
crazy.
Throw it
I'm
on
not,
your dresser."
I'm not.
Yeah.
I literally, I was actually afraid to take it in my house. And then she gave me a.
You're like, "Does this have a tracking device? She's gonna like come get me tomorrow." Yeah.
This is so crazy. So she gave me two letters, and they were like these printed off letters with signatures from. One was a personal letter written from Halle Berry to her, saying thank you. She told me she used to work for Halle Berry, and I was like, "Okay, what's that? Why do I want, like, this is so beyond." I'm like, "Okay, why do I want this lady?" And then the other ones was this she must have did something in Michelle Obama, one of them cultivated letterheads, and then Michelle Obama saying she gives this to me, and I'm just like, "Okay," like with the book, and
wow,
she's like, and I'm just like, "All right, what is this?" Right. So 6-7 months go by, and I'm training people, but finally I Google the name of this book and I see it's this world-renowned book called The Prayer of Jabez. And I'm like, "All right, let me try to read this book." And I read the book just in purpose, right? But then that moment just kept coming up. Like, what is this lady? What was she saying? Like, what was, you know, what is she trying to tell me that my life is just going the path that I'm on? And I just couldn't understand it. And then fast forward a little bit to a lady telling me that, you know, I changed her life through fitness. And I was just doing basic football workout. No.
A lady
that was at, so,
so
I
you
opened
haven't
up my
seen
gym.
This other lady first ever since that moment.
I've never seen her again.
Wow.
No, I don't know her name. I've never seen her a day after that.
And she gave you something
no,
so
lying.
Special.
I did see her day after that because I invited her to our gym. But it was the weirdest, like, I just.
Like, maybe her purpose was that one day in time.
I think
she
that,
didn't need to stay long.
Yeah, I don't think her purpose was in it. Because she definitely, she was a different individual. You know, she didn't align with, you know, the type of conversation that
but
I.
But still, particularly. That one moment interaction sparked something in you.
Yeah, until this day, like, I always remember, like, what was she?
I could tell you're still like really
yeah, like
trying
what
to
is
because
I felt so bad for the guy standing next to me because in the moment I'm like, so what about him? And she's like, yeah, he's cool, but you. And I'm just like, she was just so adamant that she needed to talk
you're
to me.
You're rare,
that day.
I told you.
Yeah, she was so adamant she needed to talk to me, and then so it blew me away. It blew me away. Fast forward to the lady telling me, I changed her life through fitness. She had lost like 100 something.
Is this
pounds.
Your first woman that you trained?
I was training so many women.
Oh, wow.
This is the first lady that.
So how did training start? So football ends, and then where are you segueing to, I want to train
so
people?
Football didn't end. So this is the crazy part. This is all in that time where I was really confused, but fitness was kind of like the thing that I would do during the day, you know, to kind of, after I work out, what am I doing? Everybody's like, oh, you're in shape. You can train me. So at this time, so my cousin played in the NFL. He opened up a gym, and so I partnered with him, and so I just started doing speed classes for kids, and then I saw an opportunity, started doing a little bit of research about fitness, and so I was like, all right, well, in order to make some money doing this, I need to do group classes, because individual classes isn't going to pay me a lot. I'm living in Atlanta, and I obviously was broke as a joke. I had no money. My girlfriend at the time was taking care of everything, and so I just remember training people every day, just speed and agility. And then I just really said, all right, let me try this boot camp stuff. I just started. So where we were trained as in it, trying to go to NFL, I would see all these parents in the park with this trainer, you know, in the morning, right? You know, these early morning workouts and these moms. I was like, all right, I'm going to figure this out. So I started doing my research. Yeah, I was like, all right, I'm going to figure this out. It's like, you know. And so fast forward to finally, while I was training the kids, I started doing adult classes. And I didn't like fitness at all. It wasn't like, because I had been trained my whole life. But
right.
I just saw a segue to keep my mind busy. And I'll never forget. Before that, I started the boot camp. I started marketing the boot camp. And I only got one person to show up.
But that is so, like, that is the truth about starting anywhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and you got to go with it. And I think some people nowadays,
yeah,
they get one sign up. Oh, they're canceling it. They want 30.
So maybe that's so funny you say that, because that, which takes me to a point. Her name's Marilyn. I'll never forget this lady.
This is the one sign up?
This is the one sign up.
Let's go, Marilyn.
She was the G. She was the ultimate G. So she signs up. And obviously, when you go out and you're putting flyers everywhere, you're telling everybody, you think that you're the greatest thing that ever happened. Like this, everybody's going to see that these boot camps. Because, you know, everyone's asking about, man, you host classes, I'm going to come. Soon as you start marketing, no one comes. No one wants to pay the money. So I think it was $150 or $100. Marilyn paid her money. Mm-hmm. And so come 5 a.m., you know, it was a 5 a.m. class too. And so I was going to cancel. And then I was like, that was one of those accountability moments for me. Was like, she didn't pay her money contingent on anybody else showing up. She paid her money for a 5 a.m. workout. And I was so tired a lot of mornings. And I was like, fuck, I got to get up at 4 o'clock to get to the gym and be and have energy. Because
mm-hmm.
she paid for motivation. And $150 a month. So I'm like, all right, cool, I got to be here. And I just remember saying, I'm going to get up. And it was a lot of mornings. I was just like, I don't want to do this. But she didn't pay her money contingent on anybody else. And so I had to hold myself accountable. And that was some of my first segues into like this training world of like accountability and being self-aware that when someone signs up with you, they're counting on you to help them on their journey. You know what I mean? And so I had a responsibility to give up myself to help other people. That was like one of the first moments of like, all right, this is for others. This isn't for me. So who cares if, and she didn't sign up on anybody else's merit. She signed up.
Right.
She wanted to get better. And
how did it go with her?
She was my client for like 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then things I mean, not obviously took off, but consistently,
mm-hmm.
It went from one person to I ended up training like,
and who knows what
would have
happened if you would have rolled over that morning and said, no, I'm not going.
I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy how that stuff happens.
Yeah. I don't think I would be here, because that opportunity led to me training a manager of Neo, which is a singer, because she lived in our neighborhood in our area. And she literally was like, hey, you know, Neo needs a trainer, I think. And it one phone call, just but my consistency.
And that's your first celebrity client?
That was my first celebrity client.
What's the prep like for that? Because obviously you're like, I know I'm good at this. I'm getting referred to Neo. But then it's like, I don't know if that first day you show up, you're like, do I got to act different? What, how do I train him?
So the first day was I flew to L.A. to meet him. I was in Atlanta, flew to L.A. to meet him. But I want to make a very important, before I segue, the lady that actually changed my life in fitness that made me realize that it was more important was when I helped her lose 100 pounds to get pregnant, to get healthy enough to have a baby.
Oh, wow.
And she was crying She was literally in an emotional, like, oh my God, like she was emotional. She was crying. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to react. I'm this strong guy. She's in the middle of the gym. And she's just like, you know, you changed my life. And I was like, I changed your life through working out? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, literally, like, what are you talking about? And it didn't hit me until a few months later, reading the book. All of this kind of came to
together. Wow, so you didn't read the book for a long time.
I didn't read the book for a long time. So I'm just going through the motions. So finally, I read the book. And then this thing happens with the lady where it was like, you've changed my life through fitness. And you've literally changed my life. Like, her perspective of life. And
because now she can have a baby.
Yeah, she was in a 400. Like, she got down to, I think, 280 or something like that right around that time. And, you know, she was still in her process to losing weight and getting healthier. But, you know, that was that segue. And so that was the moment that really was like, oh man, I can really help people.
It's
like,
bigger than a workout.
This is bigger than a workout. This is more, because her mental, you could just truly see how her mental fortitude, like she was relitless. It, like, people, nothing could stop her.
Wow.
Or no one, because, you know, obviously being big, being judged, but all that became like second. That's because you have to live here every day. Mm-hmm. That's why I would tell people, you got to live there every day until you change it. So you might as well love where you are and then work the process backwards to get to where you're trying to go. But you got to love here to get to where you're trying to go.
So true. I love that. You got to accept your current state to change it at all.
You got to accept it. Yeah.
So, Neo, your first celebrity client, you fly to LA and you immediately click?
No. So, again, I'm like new to this. We work out, to kind of be dead honest. I think I've talked about this before, but like, there's this moment between, I'm like, he has me on the road, but he didn't want to train. Right. Mm. And so I'm there on the road for 3 months, 3-4 months. And I never forget. I remember waking him up in the mornings and he didn't want to get up. He'd be like, oh, I got a headache or blah, blah. And I just remember going, all right, well, this is your money you're wasting. Like, you have me on the road, hotel room, you know, and we're staying at the finest places in the world. And I'm traveling everywhere. You know, at this point, I'm full time with him traveling. And I just remember him just not being as committed. And so 3-4 months go by. And it was only supposed to be for 3 months. So I knew that in that moment, I had an opportunity to continue to, like, this. It was like, I got this opportunity because when I go back, I got to, you know, do all these different things with my gym. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to use this as my, because once you get a celebrity, I automatically became the guru.
The door opens.
Yeah,
I mean, I
became the guru.
And then you get one rec, or he brings his buddy one time and his buddy's usher. Like, I don't know. It's open.
you become the guru. And then, so oddly enough, they let me go. So we go home.
What was the reason?
This is so crazy. So I was 245. I weighed about 245 pounds. And so I was big. And so a lot of people used to think I was security. And I was like, man, I'm not security like that. He had security. And so people would always be like, man, you security. I'm like, and I got a birthmark on my face, red. People were like, and then finally, so when I went back home, I didn't know that I was let go. I thought we were just home. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in shape. Like, I'm going to take my fitness serious, right? And so I dropped all this weight and I got down to like 225 or whatever. And crazy, they were filming a video across the street from my place. I only had a condo, and there's some lofts across the street. And just oddly enough, me and his manager are cool. Same people that put me there were, you know, we were always cool. We just didn't know. He comes to me, he goes, hey, yeah, Neo said, I've been off the road for like 3 months. I'm always thinking that I'm waiting on the call to go back. And he says to me, he goes, yeah, you know, he doesn't want you. He wants me to find another trainer. I said, what? For what? He was like, you weren't hard enough. And I'm like, I wasn't hard enough? Help me understand what you mean. I wasn't hard enough. And he was like, you were, you know, you didn't hold him accountable and da da da. And I'm like, he said he had a headache or he was tired. I'm like, I'm here for him. So if he said he doesn't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. He's like, he wants you to be more militant, blah, blah, blah. He said, I think you can do it. I said, of course I can do it. Called one of my cousins and was like, man, I can't believe this man got me on the road and don't want to hold himself accountable. He's like, man, get rid of your ego and just do it. Mm-hmm. Got on the road and ended up being with Neo for 3 years.
So this time around, I bet you're like, no, I don't care. Get up.
At that time around, I had a key to every room. no matter where he was at, no matter where we were on the road, I had a key to every room. That so no matter what he was doing, I would walk in a room and be like, you got 30 minutes.
Wow. And that's a hard thing to kind of understand as this trainer of these A-listers, because you, I understand, like, they're employing you. You don't want to piss them off. Like, if they don't want to do it, what do you say? But then at the same time, you're like, oh, wait, it's hard to be self-motivated. So I'm here to be the person that gets them to do the thing they don't want to do.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so funny the way that you said that. I've never approached them like that. I don't approach these people like, oh, they're employing me. You're my client. You've hired me. I'm not. This is your, you want me here. So yeah. I've never looked at it like that. I'm here to help you. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
You're my partner.
Then what was the difference between the first time and the second time working with him?
More, I was just more comfortable. I had more confidence to be me. Because yeah. when I went into the situation in the first place, again, talked about, you know, that moment when you get there, what changed? It was like, I don't know how strong of my personality that these people can take, you know what I mean?
I know you said that to me before. You were like, I didn't work out this morning so I could be calmer for you. I'm yeah. like, I want you on fire.
Yeah Yes, no, trust me,
this we'll get, is at the end we're gonna talk about some stuff. I think I'll get you going.
Okay But yeah, so that was that moment. So the segue between him then and the second time, I think that he realized that, okay, this dude isn't playing. And before you know it, there weren't very many missed workouts at that point. So, yeah. you know, things just, it clicked for him, but he needed me to, I think it was about a good 4 months of like nonstop. And he, obviously we have those days, but I remember that I was on the road and I had a job to do. And so no matter how we partied, no matter what happened, I had a responsibility to get up and get my shit done.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And then you start working with Kevin and you start yep. working in this field and you have Just Train and you really are an entrepreneur as well. I mean, yes. you've built a business, you've built a brand. As someone who struggled with academics, I mean, isn't it crazy how that works?
For like, sure, for sure.
You come around and you've made this huge career for yourself, like from the ground up, from failure, from really hard times.
For sure. I don't think I think about it.
Do you ever sit back and say that you're proud?
No.
Really?
No, I'm thankful. But proud, I think pride is destruction. You know, to be pride and just to build on that. Sometimes I look back and I'm thankful. I have a sense of gratitude, but I can't be proud because I think there's more to accomplish and more to do. And there's always more to do, but I don't want to let the moment of being proud exist in me more than a moment.
Like subconsciously signal that you could take time off or something.
Yeah. And I don't ever want that. I don't want to be able to be one of those guys that, you know, you see successful people that are like, and again, we've talked about success isn't about money, but when you look at the frame of money and you see people that are successful financially and they still go to work, they still are fulfilled with some type of project. And so you have to, you know, keep the mind going. So when you say proud, I'm proud in the small accomplishments of day to day, you know, but I'm not the overarching accomplishment that people may see. Oh man, you've done this, and I've been to, you know, I'm responsible for some partnerships with Kevin and myself and some big deals, and it's like, man, good, pat on the back and keep going. Like, that's a moment, but tomorrow it's like, how are you building on those moments? You can't become too happy and too excited within the, because you gotta, now the work starts,
right?
You got the deal done, great, now you actually have to do the work.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people get it, you know, get it misconstrued. It's like a basketball player, a football player. You make it to the NFL, you make it to the or a lawyer, and then you stop your practice. You know, I don't want to use sports always as a catalyst, but, you know, but volleyball, you get there. Think about the girls, like for you, I'll shift this for a second. Think about the girls you played volleyball with that were more talented than you, or maybe you were the most talented girl on the team, but they were talented but didn't do the work. They didn't care to put in that extra effort because they were like, well, I'm good, I'm proud, like I'm already good enough. And mm-hmm. then you excelled or someone else excelled more. Maybe you were the girl that just were lazy and you know what I mean? But does that make sense though?
Yeah, no, it does make sense. And that's something like, and I'll, a little bit about me, like I was a walk-on. I was not expected to be a starter. I ended up starting as a freshman. And I think that for me, it's because I never felt good enough. So I kept like working
for sure.
to be good enough. Whereas for sure. a lot of people on the full ride scholarships, like huge recruits, didn't necessarily, like they felt really comfortable with their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always frustrating to me because it's like, you show up and you are better than me.
Yeah.
But I'll am putting you. In more work. Yeah. So, you know, but.
Because talent, you know, talent is just that. It's just the talent. The work is how you win. You know, I watched the CrossFit Games, and no disrespect to them, but though, like, Brooke Wells is an incredible person lifting weights, but she can't jump or run as fast as me. You know what I mean? Or Matt Frazier has no clue. He can probably lift more weights than me, but an athlete, he can't stand a chance. But his work ethic he's the fittest man in the world. So as much, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, to build him up, I wasn't saying that in that moment of, like, he works to be the fittest man in the world. So that's that moment of, to you, it's like, I may not have all those tangible things, but I'm willing to work.
And this work ethic you talk of stems from motivation. And motivation is the thing that, like, everyone wants. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the new year. It's mm-hmm. like you got that 2020 motivation, but that fades. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to keep year round. And I even look back on my college career, and I do not think I was as good as I could have been. And it kills me, because I think I was, you know, distracted with other things. I think my mental health took a toll. Like, I just really wish that in a good place of mind, knowing what I know now, wiser, I could attack it.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So now, in this new journey of life, can you find that fulfillment in where you are and build that, okay, volleyball, I know that I could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
And so now in this new path, you know you can't change college volleyball,
right?
But you can change now. And so now, what opportunity every day are you telling yourself that no longer will I ever say that I will allow the distractions to keep me from being the greatest and feeling the most impeccable about the things that I'm doing every day, so I don't have the feeling anymore about I could have been better if I didn't have these distractions? What distractions, what are the things today that you say to yourself that I'm not going to allow this to happen?
Oh, it's so true. Can you, like, literally wake me up every morning and say this to me? No, it's so true. And, like, I am an entrepreneur as well. And, like, I'm building a brand, and I could wake up earlier. I could put more hours in. Like, I know I can.
Yeah.
And
there is no end.
And I know. Yeah. I know. No excuses.
That's it.
I got
to
be dead.
And I hate to say it, to be dead honest. Like, when you know, like, you just, you know, this sparked me, right? So, like, as I'm going to give you a real moment. This podcast, and then there's a guy hitting me up the other day, and I said yes to him too. And he goes, oh, Sunday at 11 o'clock. And I said, Sunday at 5 a.m. And he's like, what? Well, you don't want it. That's all the time I have. I'm not taking time away from my wife anymore right now. So if you want to do it, 5 a.m. And if you don't want to get up at 5 a.m., you don't want to do it with me. I'm not trying to be like, that's right. The only time I have. And so you have to just make a commitment if you really, you know what I mean? There is no.
Yeah. That's funny you say that, because when I was talking to Chris, who was helping us set this up, you couldn't do the times I needed. And he was like, and then boss is leaving the country. And I was like, well, I need this interview. And I was like, I know he wakes up early. I'll do 5 or 6 a.m.
Yeah,
like, and he was like, we'll do 6. And I was like done.
Perfect. Yeah.
Poor Kendall. I like told her. She's like, really?
Yeah, no. And I'm so thankful that you guys did this. But this is that moment of building on.
So, yeah. And so it's like, I know I can do these things. Like, I know I will wake up at, like, I had to wake up at 4:45 to get here and get this done and be prepped. And like I know I can. But then I also know it's like hard to find that balance of when you can be okay with the work you've put in. Like, do you feel like you will do a workout on a day and go home and be like, I gave it my all? Like, yes. I feel good about that.
Yes.
And how do you measure that for yourself? Is that just years of experience?
How do I measure? You know.
Like, how do you know when you've given it your all?
You know.
Yeah.
You know. And every day it's like, you know, I had to learn, because I was an all out or nothing type of guy. And then I realized that you're slowly beating yourself down by saying I need to, every workout or everything needs to be all out or nothing. So I just understood that I gave it my all that particular day that was required. And so, you know, making these little, so there's this book I read called The Slight Edge, and this will probably help you. And it talks about compound interest effect of life, right? And if you take a penny and it doubles every day, you have a penny a day, 2 pennies tomorrow, 4, 8, 16. The compound interest effect of life, it's like the small things done over a period of time ultimately lead to the grand feels, like the grand moment. First you bought a camera, then you bought the mics, then you had your first interview, and then you continued to build. Then there were 2 followers, then there were 4 followers, and then so you continue to build. And concepts are like that, and life is like that. But everybody wants to know how you went from point A to point Z rather than understanding that that was A, B, C, D, D. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
and
right.
So you have to do all the things in the middle. If you read at the top, it says the process is the fuel. And so to understand the process is truly the fuel. The car can't run without gas. You know what I mean? And so you have to do all the things in between in order to get to that, oh, I want to have the number one podcast. Well, you have to do enough of those podcasts in order to get to that position. You know what
right.
I mean? You have to continue to every day.
And
every
this,
day, just carve out.
And this is a big message of yours, is this is not about perfection. It's about the pursuit of perfection.
Absolutely.
Because you understand that it's this concept that will keep you going and going, even though you know it might not be achievable.
It's never achievable.
Perfection is never achievable.
Why do I want to be perfect? There is no such thing. Like, there's nothing in my life that is perfect. There's not the way I struggle, the way I love my wife, the way, you know, there's the way I drop. There's nothing that's perfect, but can I be better? You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, man, you're going to, I drive fast, but you have a baby, I'm going to drive better. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But an accident can happen at any moment. You know what I mean? So
right.
you doesn't there's there is nothing about life that's perfect, but we're trying to be better human beings for one another and the people that we interact with. And so that's the most important part for me.
What do you say to yourself when your motivation is low?
Someone wants my spot.
Yeah.
That's it. That's like for me. Go ahead. I mean,
no,
I'm sorry.
Keep going.
I cut
you
off.
Go on it. I love it. Like, and I love it because you said this about Kevin Hart in the documentary. You were like, someone wants to be the next comedian. Like you said, your time will be up.
Your time will be up. And so football taught me that, right? And I'm sure volleyball taught you that. You're a starter. The girl on the bench thinks she's better than you, and that she should. You know what I mean? And she's working her ass off if she truly wants it to get your spot. And you have to continue to work in order to make sure that your spot is permanent for the moment that it exists, because you're only in college for 4, maybe 5 years. If you're there for 6, there's a problem. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I love that you talk about this moment and this opportunity, because like you said, I feel like I'm in this new stage now where I have the opportunity, and like you said, maximize opportunity while you got it. Like, I'm only going to be a college grad right now. I'm only going to have the opportunities I have via social right now.
Yep.
And you just can't bank on having things down the line. Like you can only bank on the present moment.
To the thing that's so constant to me is Magic Johnson was Magic Johnson. Unfortunately, he did something with his career after basketball, but his career with basketball is over. Kobe Bryant's career is over. Like, some of the greatest athletes you know, at some point, they don't play volleyball anymore. So you have to maximize in the moment. They don't play basketball. They don't play. You're not going to, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
So you just always know.
And then you see in those people who maximizes opportunity afterwards. Like,
yes.
Kobe has this whole empire.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
They just keep going. They're hungry to keep creating and keep being better.
So to watch so for me, to be able to every day pay attention to not the athletic ability of a person, but to watch Kevin, Dwayne, Kobe, Shaq, so many other people just using athletes, and say they don't have to work again, and they're literally out here marketing, building brands, and that's what's important. You know
right.
what I mean?
That's so true. They could never work a day in their life. They could sit on their mansions and never work, but they
and
don't
just do
that.
Just do the movies that come to them, or do the things that come to them that's required. Kobe opened up a Mamba facility and is opening up more. He has a fund. Shaq is on every commercial that you see on TV.
True.
He does NBA. Like, he's constantly building. You look at Dwayne and Kevin. They're constantly doing movies. They're constantly marketing. Why are they starting new companies? Why are they taking risks? Who am I to say that I'm not beneath them. I'm the same I'm the same human. They're no different. They don't have an this talent that is only they have work ethic, and that's what's required. And if you want that, because some people truly, and you have to learn that everybody in life doesn't want to push the limit for that more. Their more is getting up, going to work, and there's nothing bad to say about that. Nothing bad. It's just not the life that I want.
Right.
But there's no judgment. If you want to go to work, go to happy hour, come home, raise your family, and be cool.
Well,
there's no judgment.
That goes with the saying, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah.
And not everyone is Kevin Hart, and
yeah.
not everyone is you. And
yeah.
that's because it's not easy to build what you've built.
Yeah. And some people truly don't desire it. Some people don't.
That's true.
You know, some people truly don't desire. Some people don't want to be on a podcast and put themselves out there to be ridiculed by the way you talk or the way you look or right. whatever it may be. And you know, I put myself on camera every day and I got a red birthmark on my face. Who cares? It's, I got to live here every day.
Yeah.
Either you like it or not. I got my wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I got, you know what I mean?
When you have
I got
your five main people, you're like, I don't even care about anything else.
I don't care.
But one of the big quotes you emphasize is just train the mind, the body will follow.
Yeah.
And that's like a just train slogan. I mean, you guys have that on the wall here. What does that mean? And I love that you emphasize training the mind.
Yeah, for me, just train. So to talk back about football, right? There was a moment for me that I couldn't watch football. I just was like, I was bitter. People go, were you depressed? I'm like, I wasn't depressed. I was just low. You know what I mean? And I'm not running away, but I wasn't like in a, but I just remember that the things that were required was my mental. I needed to constantly tell myself every day back to that moment. I got to get up at 5 a.m. because this is accountability. This is, so I was training my mind at that time. I was training myself to say, this is who I'm going to be consistently. And so it was the mental training part. And then the body was just something that people saw. They were like, that was just going to be my thing, my entry into the door. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Was fitness was the entry, but the mind was always the byproduct, the product.
And once you get to the gym at 5 a.m., your body will work out. But what's getting you from bed to the gym is what you say to yourself in the morning.
What you say to yourself in the morning. What you say to yourself going to bed.
Right.
What you say to yourself going to bed. I'm going to get up at this time. And I won't allow laziness, being tired, my wife to say, babe, what are you doing? You know,
yeah.
The dog, whatever these excuses that are real, the baby's sick, and okay, I may not go to the gym, but I'm going to get down and I'm going to do my push-ups and my squats or whatever it is. And try not, for me, it was like finding life and saying it's not that complicated. Training them, like literally, like it's not, okay, it's not really that complicated. Things happen. How do we adjust?
And lastly, I just want to ask you what your definition of greatness is.
What my definition of greatness? This changes, right? But I truly want to, a legacy for my family is important. You know, greatness is touching other people and making other people's lives better through impact and just conversation. You know, greatness is, I think, we all have it. It just depends on how you want to do it. I really, the answer is, man, my mind literally is all over the place what greatness means.
I know, because it's just such a, this word of like, what makes someone great? It's hard to.
Yeah, like greatness. I think I get off more on helping people. I don't train very many people. I mean, I don't train anyone really, but Kevin. But
also, like, can I get smoked after this? Is that a thing?
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna train. I'm gonna actually train someone. Yeah, but yeah, no. Like my greatness is just helping people, trying to help people feel more fulfilled,
making an impact
myself. And I think that will, I'll add more, you know, you just continue to add more, but I'm not thinking about the greatness today. I'm just thinking about the work that I want to do. You know what I mean? Truly.
Do you compartmentalize every day is its own challenge, or do you like to make goals in like your monthly, yearly?
You know, and don't beat me up over this. We write things down. I think it's important. I like to write in a notepad. I like to write down. But if I've put goals on my life, I would be limited because I wouldn't have ever traveled to the Middle East. And, you know, I couldn't. The goals that I thought that I wanted were nowhere near where my life is taking me. I've traveled around the world. I've trained people from the Middle East to Asia to, I mean, literally I've been requested to travel all around the world to train people. And we're talking training. You know, I'm talking rulers of countries have requested me to come train them. And I'm like, so I couldn't write that down. I couldn't,
right.
That wasn't a goal of mine, you know? And so I tell people to just believe and dream the unbelievable. And I know that sounds really, really crazy, but I think I'm in a real example of just football not working and being able to truly just go to this point where it was just like, I just got to go, and the go button worked more than anything in my life. And so that's, you know, that's the goal, is to truly believe that there is more to life than just what we think. And so a goal, just could not define. I love that.
It could be
today.
It could be limiting in some way.
It could be very limiting.
And the very last thing, someone is listening right now who wants to start something, wants to do something, wants to become something, and they just need that push. What would you say?
Go. Simple. Go. Don't overcomplicate it. I have a podcast. I never forget, and really, really fast. And guys are like, oh, man, we need to do this. You need to do this. And I was just like, no, dog, just go buy the equipment. We're going to just do it. Let's just tell people to come, and then we'll figure it out later. Stop overthinking the process, because it's never going to be perfect. There's always going to be things that you want to fix on the way. I remember that I was talking too much in my first podcast. Okay, you learn. You get better. You know what I mean? Like, you just have to start. The thing that's most crippling for most people is for me, my life is to go button. Everybody's like, well, I need this plan. And I'm like, well, you do that. I'm going to go do this. And you may catch me, but I'm going.
I think something you said is, it doesn't matter if you're going fast, just be going.
Just go. Just go. Like, literally, like, it's so true. Like, it doesn't have to be fast. I don't care. You know, you run a marathon, the same person that started finishes first and finishes last finished, no matter what. As long as you finish, that's the goal. Nobody, I mean, who's judging at the time at the end of the day? You're really competing with yourself.
Yeah.
Self-competition every day. You know, I'm literally waking up every day competing with myself. I think, by the way, I think competition is the fuel for us. And we see it every day where, you know, the Burger King doesn't stop because there's a McDonald's. The Five Guys didn't try to make burgers because there was a Chick-fil-A. Competition fuels us. I think the thing that we should be building on is competition. We should compete to uplift and not compete to destroy. The problem with humans is that I get the businesses, but we're trying to destroy. We're trying to compete to destroy one another rather than competing to uplift. And I just want to compete. Let's talk trash. Let's be better. Let's be, you know, let's get in a room and let's uplift each other through competition. But knowing that we're trying to make each other better. I may beat you today. You may beat me tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Right.
However, but it's not to tell you you're worse than me. It's only to say, okay, let me go back and think. And if you're not that type of person, I'm sorry that you don't fuel off competition. But I am fueled off of competing, and I want to compete with myself daily because I know what I gave yesterday compared to what I gave today. And then if I know that I'm lacking, that's the only way we get better.
I love that. Yeah. Go compete and get better every day.
Get better every day.
Thank you so much. No, I appreciate it.
I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod featuring Boss Everline. If you want to keep up with Boss, make sure you check out his Instagram. It's at justtrain. And you can also check out his website and his gyms at just-train.com. I highly suggest you guys all follow him. I mean, if you're not already, because he's so inspiring. His content, honestly, gives me that daily boost I need. Thanks again to Boss for taking the time to be on the podcast. So thankful to him. Hope you guys enjoyed this. And if you did, I would love, love, love if you could please give it 5 stars and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. That would mean so much, and it would definitely help the podcast grow. And I will see you guys back here every single Wednesday morning. Let's get it. All right. Have a great day and get after it.